Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 15 to 17 and verses 21 to 22. And I found a video that sums up this reading very well. It's a clip from the Jesus film that has been sent around the world and used for evangelism all around the world. And so I thought we would just watch the video because it identifies these words almost exactly that we would be reading. So if we can turn the lights down and the sound up, that'll be good.
Tell us, are you Christ?
Yes, I am.
I baptize you with water, but someone is coming who is much greater than I am. I'm not good enough even to untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He has his winnowing shovel with him to thresh out all the grain and gather the wheat into his barn.
Spirit came down upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased."
So water, the use of water. Not any special anointing oil or any other sort of sacred material that you would think they might have made extra special for baptism and for anointing. Just something as simple as water, which is usually plentiful for all of us. I think God knew that it was just so important to make this available to everyone. Because water is such an essential element for life, so the symbolism is really strong and deep. But water can be holy and soothing and refreshing, but it also can be dangerous and destructive. Now, lately, we have been blessed with much more rainwater than we've seen in a long, long time. Thanks be to God. And the rains have been replenishing our dry land, and the snow is coming to the mountains, and it says looks like we're going to get to 100% of the average for our snowpack, which is so wonderful to hear. And even though we sometimes get tired of the clouds and the rain, it is such a great blessing. So what does water do for you? And I found a slide that kind of explains it all. Without water, you wouldn't have saliva for digestion. It allows your body cells to grow and reproduce and survive. It lubricates your joints. It regulates your body temperature. It acts as a shock absorber, which I never thought of that before, and especially for your brain and your spinal cord. It helps deliver oxygen all over your body. We need it for digestion for our food. And especially needed by our brain to manufacture the hormones and the neurotransmitters. So this is why we all probably are feeling thirsty right now after we talk about water. There's something psychological. But there are many similarities in the role water plays in the first creation story and the way water is important in the story of Christ's baptism as well. When the water and land was divided to create the earth, the Holy Spirit was involved then as well. Water and the Holy Spirit, an amazing combination. So after bringing the light into the darkness, God divided the water from the sky and water from the dry land. And in Genesis 1 it reads, "And God said, let there be a dome in the midst of the waters. Let it separate the waters from the waters. So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Now the Jordan River was chosen for the holy site for the baptism of Jesus. And as Christians, we consider the Jordan River to be the third most holy site in the Holy Land. So if you go on a trip to the Holy Land, you'll for sure visit the Jordan River after you have visited the Nativity, the grotto where they say Jesus was born, and they've preserved this inside a church in Bethlehem. And then the second most important place they show you is Golgotha, the hill where Jesus Christ was crucified, and that's in Jerusalem. And then they take you out to the Jordan River, and it's the site of the most important event of Jesus' life, his baptism, and the beginning of his ministry. And so this is what the Jordan River looks like now. See, in that movie, they made it look very desolate around the Jordan River, but it's actually very lush and green. And you'll see barricaded off an area so people don't go in too deep when they go in to be baptized in the Jordan River. Now, Presbyterians don't believe in re-baptizing. We don't believe in you going through it a second time. But the Presbyterian Church in Texas, I went with Mom with her church group. Some people, the pastor said, oh, it's okay if you want to go through it again. And so he let them dress up in their white robes and go in and be dunked in the Jordan River. The rest of us kind of just watched and prayed for them at the same time. But it is a beautiful river, actually, and tons of people come and get baptized in it. Now, biblical scholars think that John the Baptist, sometimes they call him John the Baptizer, might have been part of a group that lived around this area, and the group was called the Essenes. And they led an ascetic life, a life of poverty and simplicity in the wilderness in Qumran is where they started. And that's where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. You'll remember they call them sometimes the Qumran Scrolls. And one of the principal religious rituals of the Essenes was a daily immersion in water to regain purity. So this wasn't just an out-of-the-blue idea. The Essenes had been doing what looks kind of like an immersion baptism as a part of their rituals. But John is the one who made this a specific baptism for Jesus. The Gospels account tell us that a dove descended from heaven and hovered over the water as Jesus was being baptized. And the dove's presence here is a universal symbol of the presence of the Holy Spirit. For those living in Jesus' day, it would have been easy for them to recognize the striking similarities between Jesus' baptism in this way and the creation of the world story. For instance, the Spirit at creation also hovered over and moved over the waters, as it's described in Genesis 1:2. And at Jesus' baptism, the Spirit of God, represented by the dove, descended upon Jesus. Both of these had God's approval, as we can see. After creating the world, God was pleased with creation. And after Jesus' baptism, God said that he was well pleased with his son, Jesus. And then a whole image of being out of the void was part of this too. God made a new world that had never existed before. And as Jesus came out of the water, he ushered in a new world order where love and restoration would clearly prevail. The people had been confused for a very long time about the character of God and God's purpose for the world. And Jesus would make it clear that God so loved the world. As they gathered around the Jordan River shore, those watching Jesus' baptism must have been overwhelmed by the picture God was creating. By reflecting the creation account during Jesus' baptism, God revealed Jesus' calling as the true Messiah, sent to usher in a new world order. No longer would they blame God for suffering and death and chaos. They would see God's character through Jesus, who is loving, healing, forgiving, and merciful. Jesus would show them that God is abounding with steadfast, unconditional love. Now, Protestant churches, Reformed churches, including the Presbyterian Church, of course, believe that God instituted just two sacraments. The Catholic Church believes there are seven, but the Presbyterian Church believes that we just acknowledge the sacraments that Jesus himself directly instituted, which are baptism, which he instituted by participating in it, and then the Lord's Supper, which he did with his disciples. Now, a sacrament is an outward sign of an inward grace that has been instituted by Jesus Christ. Sacraments signify God's grace in a way that is outwardly observable to the participant. And they also facilitate or bond us in a closer relationship with God. Now, in an article titled "What Presbyterians Believe, Living and Dying in God's Enveloping Care," Charles Wiley addresses the question, why is baptism so central to our lives as Christians? One way to answer that question is to consider the many dimensions of the meaning of baptism. When you ask, what does baptism mean, you will get a lot of answers. Baptism is sometimes thought of as dying and rising with Jesus Christ. And that's that image of going completely into the water and then coming out again, because the water can cause death, and then you're rising out of it. And this is to signify that when Jesus died and was resurrected, we were all a part of that and benefited from that too. And then there's the idea of a pardon for sin, the cleansing and renewal that comes with baptism. And then the gift of the Holy Spirit that's all part of the ritual. And incorporation into the body of Christ, being incorporated into a community of support and love and faithfulness. And a sign of the realm of God. These are all parts of baptism that are mentioned in our directory for worship. So the dying and rising, the water giving life and water having the potential to kill, it's just a reminder that people cannot live without water. And yet we remember that few things are as terrifying as being at the mercy of churning deep water. And the cleansing in baptism, we see a cleansing and the cleaning power of water. We experience the cleansing power of water with our food and our bodies and our clothes daily. And so in baptism, we experience the cleansing power through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's a symbolic cleansing from sin and evil in the world. And then baptism involves being gifted with the Holy Spirit. The scriptures speak of the Spirit's presence during the anointing with water. And the practice of making the sign of the cross on a person's forehead demonstrates the anointing power of the Holy Spirit through water. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is what we always say. And then baptism also facilitates a sense of being incorporated into a body of Christ. Baptisms are not private for that reason. We don't do the separate baptisms that are done in the Catholic Church. They take place in the whole Christian worshiping community. An important part of the sacrament is the practice of welcoming the newly baptized into the whole church community, because God knows we all need each other to survive. And then baptism is a sign of God's realm, they say, or a sign of God's path to the kingdom. When Jesus came, he echoed the words from the prophets that the day of the Lord had come, which meant to his followers that they were to live in a new way. The waters of baptism communicate a newness of life. And we are to repent of our old ways and follow Jesus in a new direction. And lastly, we Presbyterians emphasize the covenant aspect of baptism. When we baptize infants, we acknowledge God's gracious movement towards human beings, that it is God who initiates the idea of moving towards us with this covenant promise. And so we also believe that the Holy Spirit inspires the parents who bring forward their child for baptism, but we don't expect the child to be able to choose that choice. We expect it to be a symbol of the Holy Spirit and God coming towards the child and blessing the child. And so it's not important that they really understand what's happening to them. It's something that's done in a spiritual way. The covenant promise involved in that is very powerful and something that we want to bless children with. But the most profound articulation of this covenant understanding of infant baptism can be heard in the words of the French Reformed Church liturgy. And it's also in our Book of Common Order out of the Church of Scotland. It says, "Little one, for you Jesus came into the world. For you he lived and showed God's love. For you he suffered the darkness of Calvary and cried at the last, 'It is accomplished.' For you he triumphed over death and rose in newness of life. For you he ascended to reign at God's right hand. All this he did for you, little one, though you do not know it yet. And so the word of Scripture is fulfilled. We love because God loved us first." So God loved us first. That is what we hold dear in our hearts. And baptism enacts this all with an embracing love of God. The God who comes to us in Jesus Christ, who comes to us in the power of the Holy Spirit, a love that will not let us go. That is the story in the Scriptures, and that is the story of baptism. And so today it's a tradition for many Protestant churches to do a renewal of your baptism vows. And so Chris Rhodes, our commissioned elder, is going to help me with this. And we will renew all of your baptism vows together as one. And so now hear these words from Scripture. This is from Ephesians 4 and Micah 6:8. It reminds us of our vows in baptism. "Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God has told you what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Now please stand if you are able. Sisters and brothers in Christ, our baptism is the sign and seal of our cleansing from sin and our being grafted into Christ. Through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Christ, the power of sin was broken, and God's kingdom entered the world. Through our baptism, we were made citizens of God's kingdom and freed from the bondage of sin. So let us celebrate that freedom and redemption through the renewal of the promises made at our baptism. I ask you, therefore, once again to reject sin, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, and to confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we were baptized. So this is the Apostles' Creed next, which if you don't have it memorized, it's on page 35 of your hymnal. And we're going to do the Ancient Creed, the one that was written in the year 350. So good Christians, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? If you do, answer, I will with God's help.
I will with God's help. And now we pour the water and say a prayer for the Holy Spirit to bless this water. We give you thanks, eternal God, for you nourish and sustain all living things by the gift of water. In countless ways, you have revealed yourself in ages past and have blessed us with signs of your grace. We praise you that through the waters of the sea, you led your people Israel out of bondage into freedom in the land of your promise. We praise you for sending Jesus, your Son, who for us was baptized in the waters of the Jordan and was anointed as the Christ by your Holy Spirit. Through the baptism of his death and resurrection, you set us free from the bondage of sin and death and give us cleansing and rebirth. We praise you for your Holy Spirit, who teaches us and leads us into all truth, filling us with a variety of gifts that we might proclaim the gospel to all nations and serve you as a royal priesthood. We rejoice that you claimed us in our baptism and that by your grace we are born anew. By your Holy Spirit, renew us again, that we may be empowered by your Holy Spirit and continue forever in the risen life of Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all glory and honor, now and forever. Amen. And now remember your baptism and be thankful in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.